Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, Mac, I don't even understand how they didn't understand you and that Mary joint.
Yeah, I
kick
know,
that
man.
Old robotic, futuristic George Jetson.
Yeah,
crazy
man,
joint.
Down,
just like Uniblab, robotic kicking slab. My flavor been a batter, chitter chatter, madder than the Mad Hatter. I bet you buy shit, come by fatter. I got the data to turn your body into antimatter. And just like a piece of sizzling, you'll fit inside my stomach with the eggs and grits between. The king is what I mean, my man, get a cup and put some change inside your hand. Now hold up, let's make this official. Everybody, let's agree that MCs need a tissue. The folks my only issue. I bet your mama miss you, and I bet the Mac take off like an MX missile. No more you whining on the charts climbing as I make the funk kicking out more harder than a nine. And if you didn't know who's rhyming, I guess I'm gonna say Craig Mac with perfect timing. You won't be around next year. My rap's too severe, kicking mad flavor in your head. Here comes the brand new flavor in your head. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Mac's brand new flavor in your ear. Craig Mac, 1,000 degrees. You'll be on your knees and you'll be burning, begging, please. Brother Freeze, man's undisputed and deep-rooted. Folks smoke and leaves your brains booted. What's bad, MC? With stamina like Bruce Jenner, the winner takes an MC's for dinner. You're crazy like that glue. That thing that you can outdo my 1-2. That's sick like the flu. Shake them down, boy. I flip, boy, all the time. And the boys, about to kick an 8 worth a dime. Seems like there's no competition in this rap world expedition. You come around and knock you out position. Knock them out. No blade could ever dig a grave. Both the Mac, the power pack, and black make you see man crap. And here comes a brand new flavor in your air. Back to brand new flavor in your air. Here comes a brand new flavor in your ear. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Max, brand new flavor in your ear. Here comes a brand new flavor in your ear. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Max, brand new flavor in your ear. Ha! Max, dope. With more hope than the Pope. But for MCs, more knots than rope. I'd like to break it down, down, breaking, forsaken laws that MC shaking with this track that my man's making. MCs will run like a bomb threat, I bet, what? Or better yet, make you sweat, getting hotter than the sun get. Yeah. Craig Mac is the flame that bumps from here to Tibet. Boy. I break all rules with my actions, that the Max and the MC stop relaxing. This brand new sheriff that's in town, getting down, leaving bodies buried in the ground. I set up rhymes for a decoy down for bad boy. Watch the MC not destroy. And here comes the brand new flavor in your ear. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Max, brand new flavor in your ear. Here comes the brand new flavor in your ear. Time for new flavor in your ear. I'm kicking brand new flavor in your ear. Max, brand new flavor in your ear. Ha!
Well, hello. We have anyone there?
Hello. Hello, everyone. This is your girl, Carolyn.
And this is your girl, Alicia.
And we are Urban Flavor Radio Show. Thank you guys so much for joining us this evening. We wanted to go ahead and play the whole song of Flavor in Your Ear for a special dedication to Craig Mack. Everyone knows that we lost him a little back, so we just wanted to give him a little dedication tonight, especially with all that's going on in this world. We just want to pay some special tributes to some special people. So thank you for joining us this evening. Sorry we came on a little bit late, but we just wanted to, you know, make this night a little special for everyone. So if you're out there and you're prepared to listen to us, please press 1. Please, to speak to us, please press 1 and let us know if you have any questions, concerns, anything that's going on in your life that's affecting you, it's affecting all of us, to COVID 19. Alicia, thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Oh, but of course. Of course.
You know, I
couldn't
do it without
you. World.
Absolutely.
Oh, you know, hey, I'm here to help.
Not just to help. You are the team, girl. You
well,
are a,
yeah,
a great
y'all
got, part of
y'all
the team.
Y'all be reminding me of that. I'll, you know,
every
I like
day.
Being in the background.
No,
I love
no.
being in the background, but y'all be like, nah, front and
no.
center.
You are Urban Flavor, so you have to go ahead and accept it.
Okay. Anywho.
So tonight's topic is regarding COVID-19, the pandemic that we're all going through right now. I am hoping that if you're listening, that you will press number one and let us know how it's affecting you. If you are a doctor, a nurse, someone that's an essential worker, please join us tonight to talk about this discussion because it's very powerful. It's affecting too much that's a part of all of us. So please chime in if you can. So how's your week going, Alicia, with all this that's happening?
It's still business as usual. The only difference is I can't really move about as I like to, but I mean, still working from home. Thankfully, I'm saving more money because I would have been out at these restaurants on a regular.
Right.
Or out here, you know, just thrifting, just doing stuff I don't need to be doing. So this, I'm taking this moment to kind of relax, get things done around the house, and just,
right.
just to sit. Because, you know, you and I, you know, we're always on the go. So
yeah.
I'm trying to adjust
every time we turn around.
To this. I'm
right.
really trying to, like, adjust and just sit still.
Right. And, you know, it's a reset for all of us. It is something that we all pretty much probably needed to do just to take
mm-hmm.
a step back and reevaluate our lives, see what we're doing. That's probably things that we shouldn't be doing. And things that we're doing now is going to set us up to do things a little bit better next go around when we're free to move about. You know, maybe we'll think twice about buying the 100 pairs of shoes that we wanted to buy. Because now
mm-hmm.
that we've been in the house, we're probably looking at the 100 pairs of shoes that we don't even wear.
Don't even do it.
You know.
You got them just to look
life.
At them pretty much.
Absolutely. And I don't know about, well, you're not able to get out and about, but I am because I'm essential. I see so much traffic still out here. People are still not obeying what's going on. They're still out here, you know, no mask on, no gloves on. They're just still going about their daily business like it's nothing happening. And
yeah.
the
like
the
when I run to
thing,
the grocery stores, it's...
Mm-hmm.
The traffic is light on this side. I don't know if it's just out there in Maryland.
Yeah,
but
crazy.
It's and a lot of people out there. And everyone is just afraid to get, you know, close. Or, like, when I'm in the grocery store and going down the aisles, I see people scurrying about, running away.
Right.
I'm just like, okay, all right.
And please don't cough or sneeze.
Please.
Just don't do that because, you know, that is just the worst thing that you could ever do right now.
Yes. It's almost a witch hunt. They're going to burn
yeah,
you at the stake if you sneeze.
Truly. But then what really got me this past weekend, I think it was this past weekend, the days of kind of like running together, is seeing on Facebook the people, the amount of people at the wharf. It just got under my skin. Yeah, it was hundreds of people out buying seafood and just things that it could have waited. To me, because now you're putting more people at jeopardy. You're all out there. You're breathing on each other. I didn't see but maybe a handful of people with masks on. So when you leave the wharf, of course you got to go back out into the world. You got to go back home. You have to go back to work if you're essential. So now you're going to carry this back to wherever you have to go to, affecting people
yep.
that's trying to stay safe while you're out here trying to get seafood. So,
yeah.
you know, it's just, I don't know. What's your take on that? Because it's just, it's so disturbing to me.
You really can't tell people what to do. That's just what it is.
No. Nope.
You, no matter how many times you plaster it on the news, social media, whatever, people are going to do what they want to do because they grown. So I'm not surprised that they're out there at the wharf because you know how folks are with their seafood.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, was it a special? Like, what was the deal?
I have no idea. It's just something to get out of the house. Maybe they were just bored and needed somewhere to go. It was a nice Saturday. It definitely was a nice Saturday. So, you know, people just looking for things to do. And they're not thinking about putting themselves in jeopardy.
Well, you know, I hope they think about it. You know, God forbid, if they do catch it, they're like, okay, was that shrimp worth it? Was some crab legs worth it?
Right. Was any of it worth it? Because not only were they out there, but they had children out there who did not have on masks or gloves or anything kind of protection, and they were all standing on top of each other. So I don't know. I just don't get it. Maybe it's not for me to get, but when you're living in the same area as us, I would hope that you would respect all of us because we're all in this thing together. The whole world is in this thing together.
That's true. So just, but again, you know, people are just like, I'll be all right. It won't happen to me. You know, almost like they're invincible to it.
Right. Pretty much. Well, if there's any listeners out there, please press 1, join the conversation regarding COVID-19, the pandemic that we're all in together. We would love to hear your feedback, hear what you're going through, any kind of suggestions you can give to us. If you are a doctor or a nurse, please chime in. Let us know, you know, your take on things and how you're keeping yourself safe through it all. Because, you know, even the hospitals are running out of masks, running out of gloves, running out of sanitizer. So it's just, I just don't understand how the medical field is running out of so many. I understand because we have so many more people who are falling sick, dying every single day or every single hour, I should say, from this. So it's just, you know, kudos to the doctors, the nurses, essential workers. I praise you all for going above and beyond to keep us safe, to do the right things for us, to be there to provide for us, to give us service when we go to the grocery store. You know, thank you for being there to service us. You're putting your life in danger every single day. You're taking things back home to your family that you don't want to take home. So, you know, it's just we have to praise these people for doing what they need to do.
Now, I did see something. I don't remember if it was on Facebook or Instagram where these doctors, and you probably have seen it too, these doctors were in some type of room. I don't know if it was an operating room or whatever. And they were all just, like, bowed down on their knees and praying. And when I tell you I saw that video of that woman leading prayer, I almost had to turn it off because it was too intense coming through. And I was at a point like, I don't feel like crying today. You know how you just scroll just nonchalantly sometimes and you just happen to see it? Yeah.
Right.
I thought that was extremely beautiful. She was praying over, you know, the sick people in there. She was praying, you know, for the people who are, you know, almost still kind of hard-headed, you know, going out and about and doing what they want to do. You know, that people would just stay home. I don't know how many times you need to be told.
And they're
begging
them.
Unless you're going, you know, to get groceries or, you know, checking up on someone in the hospital. Okay, that's fine. But just out to kick it, just to get some snow crabs?
Right.
Really?
And I'm so glad that, and, you know, kudos to the lady in the prayer because that it's needed. It is really needed, especially over those doctors and nurses and people that are in the field who are around it 24/7. They can't even go leave to go home because they have to be quarantined because they're in it. Huh?
I said they are worn out.
I mean, exhausted. I'm exhausted looking at them, as you were saying, and scrolling through and seeing, you know, the different things that they're going through. how they have to watch people take their last breath on the ventilators. It's just, I don't think I could do it. I was never one to be able to go into the medical field. Yeah, no. My heart is just too, I'm just too sensitive to stuff like that.
Me too. That's why I said I had to turn in that, because, you know, I was against what she was doing. It was just, it was very emotional to watch.
Right. It is very hard to digest when you know they just witnessed people taking their last breaths.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's sad. And then you mentioned scrolling through Facebook. Just to scroll through and see how many people that I know who are posting RIP for people that were close to them or people that they have known forever, close friends or relatives. That's all I have seen for about a week. And it is just taking a toll.
Oh, yeah.
On everybody.
If you thought 2019 was bad with the death, 2020 is something else.
Oh, yeah.
This is whole nother piece.
Yeah, we've hit a record. And then, you know, poor New York, they are on lockdown. They cannot go anywhere because of the amount of people that they have lost. I want to say maybe 2 days.
Can they go grocery shopping? Can they do that?
I don't think so. I'm hoping someone's on here that can chime in and let us know. Huh?
Do they get it delivered? Because I can't imagine, like, you have nothing in your house to eat and you just have to deal with it.
Right. I would hope that they have delivery, that those essential people.
Yeah,
I would hope that they could deliver to them because food is going to run out. You can't just be in there for 14 days or however long they have to be in there. It's probably more than 14 days because of how bad it is there. I think I heard a couple of days ago they lost about 700 or so people.
Now, were these older people, older in age?
I think it's a mixture. Yep, okay. I think this thing does not have a discrimination. There's no age, no color, no nothing. When it hits you, it hits you. It has hit families. I've heard when people have lost 3-4 people in one family, which is really sad.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
Mm-mm. No. So, you know, all we can really do is to stay prayed up and do the right things and just do the right things. I don't know how much I could say to do the right thing. If they're telling you to put the mask on, put the mask on. Put your gloves on. Wash your clothes when you come in the house. Wash your hair. You know, a lot of people are taking it as a joke.
But they are, because it hasn't hit them yet.
It has not hit them. It has not hit home. But when I, like I said, see people and I'm scrolling through Facebook, and when I tell you it's people that are close to me that are posting people that's in their family or close to them, that's when it hits home to me. No, it has not happened to me yet. But, you know, I'm holding my breath and praying to God that it's not going to happen to me or you or anybody else that, you know, that we're close to. It's just, I don't know, it's just sad. Again, if you're a listener out there, please press 1, join the conversation. Give us your input on what's happening with this world. Let us know your thoughts. If you're an essential worker, if you're still going out here, going to work every single day, putting your life at jeopardy for us, we thank you, but we want you to also come on this line and let us know what you're going through and how you're taking care of yourself and your family.
Now, one question for you. Do you have to show, like, that documentation that you are essential? Have you been stopped yet?
Have not been stopped. And I don't think that they're stopping anyone. And to be honest, I wouldn't even be, I don't know. If I was law enforcement, I don't even know that I would want to stop anybody. I mean, they're essential. They need to do what they're supposed to do, too. But, of course, they're in the same boat as we are. They have to go home to their families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to do the same thing. So I think we do have a call on the line.
Like,
No, go ahead. Finish your statement, then we'll bring the caller on.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking, I thought I saw it somewhere where it was like, you know, the police were, you know, stopping people and checking, and, like, they just had their documentation up against the glass. So it was like, you know,
okay.
You don't have to really open the door or anything like that, or, you know, expose
okay.
yourself to their air.
Well, that's
so
a good idea.
With you.
Yes, so I do. I do have a letter in my car that I leave in the car to show
mm-hmm.
that I'm essential, that I can move freely, you know, to get back and forth to do my duties. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I get to where I'm supposed to be to do my duties, there are people that are there that are non-essential
mm-hmm.
that are not there to do anything but just hang out. So it just drives me crazy that I'm putting my life in jeopardy for people to come to me without a mask, without gloves, without a care in the world, and breathing in my direction. When you see that I have a mask on and I have on gloves, and you're here and you're not even taking into account or consideration that I am here for you, but you need to also protect me from you. If you see me with protection on,
they don't
feel
like that.
No,
they don't.
It's really sad. Hello, caller, are you there? Please state your name.
Hey, guys, this is Kay from Table Talk. How y'all doing?
Hi, Kay.
Hi,
how
are you? Hello, boo-boos. I'm talking to y'all tonight.
Thank you for joining us.
Of course.
And I hope you stay on the line and be our part three.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're good. You know, I'm here for it. I just wanted to, you know, of course, call in and give my little views. You know, I work in healthcare as well. Thank God,
mm-hmm.
by the grace of God, I don't work in a hospital. You know, I work in a urology office. But I was recently furloughed, which I never thought would happen just because the demand for healthcare providers are so,
right.
It doesn't stop. The demand doesn't stop. People still need to see a doctor. But my biggest thing when everybody is, you know, praying for people, the only thing that I wanted to say is to really make sure that you pray for these doctors, because when
yes.
you work in the field with these doctors, we're torn as individuals, because we're fearing our lives to go out and get sick, and we don't know if we're going to die a month later. But they're trying to balance both the fear and also the stress of trying to keep their businesses together, because if you're not in the hospital, you are forced to lose money, you know. So they're struggling
right.
in so many ways. And a few weeks before we got furloughed, you know, we had a very serious mandatory meeting, and our physician was explaining, he's like, you know, the president is not taking this serious as we are as physicians. He just broke down crying. He said, you know, he
yeah.
said, I've lost other physicians that are my friends because they're in the ICU trying to save other people's lives. And he's just so torn.
Right.
And, you know, they have to go home to their families just like we do, but their risk is so much greater than ours. So I'm not saying anybody deserves more prayer, but just pray for these doctors because it's very serious. You know, he had another physician friend that's on a ventilator, 39 years old.
Wow.
She worked
oh
in the
goodness.
ICU, you know. So they see firsthand that this is real. So to the people
mm-hmm.
that just think like, oh, you know, well, I'm healthy, I'm under 30, whatever it is that you're thinking, that's an ignorant thought. These doctors
right.
are the ones taking this the most serious, but they're also the ones still there to save you at the same time. So
absolutely.
The utmost respect goes to them. And, you know, like y'all were saying to these essential workers, like, I praise these people, these Walmart workers, all these people, because their risk is so great
right.
with the traffic, you know, and then with, like you said, people not protecting themselves. Now, one thing that I will say, as a healthcare worker, that really is frustrating, I do see so many people wearing gloves and doing so many things. The cross-contamination is just as bad
Buffing.
As you having your bare hands. You have to be
right.
smart
Absolutely.
When you wear them. Everything you do, that glove needs to be changed afterwards before you move
mm-hmm.
on to the next thing. You know, you got gloves on, you run in the store, you come home, you're unloading them, same groceries, touching your cabinets, touching your door handles. It's not, you have to be smart about
right.
it. Don't just wear it to look like everybody else. educate yourself on how to really protect your family.
Question, when it comes to the gloves, is it best to, you know, just when you're going out in the, like to the grocery stores or even just going out to check your mail, you know, say you don't have the gloves on, is it just best to continually just keep washing your hands and using sanitizer or the gloves just...
Me personally, I you know, I work in the field, but I go out without gloves because in my mind, I just need to keep my hands clean. So I go out, I get what I'm going to get. I'm touching stuff. When I get in my car, I don't even touch my steering wheel until I disinfect my hands. And then when I get home, if it's boxed items and things that are not foods that are not exposed, I get home, I wash my hands right away, and then I just miss Lysol over everything that I just bought as long as it's not actually touching, you know, the food or whatever. Like, I wouldn't do that to an open bag of onions, but boxes of cereal, things like that. Just a mist, and, you know, I just continue to keep my hands clean because, for me, I feel like I'm more prone to forget, oh, shit, like, I, you know, I had these gloves and I just touched this, that, that. So I don't wear them. It is that easy, and it's cross-contamination, and a lot of people don't pay attention to that. Like, the gas station close to my house, I go in there on a regular basis, and I watch that customer after customer wear the same gloves. So you're just passing whatever the previous customer had onto the next customer's product or their money or their credit card or whatever, where you should just be washing your hands in between customers.
Right.
So that's just not you, you know.
Right. And with me, because I'm in and out of people's vehicles, because I'm an estimator for insurance companies, so I'm in and out of vehicles every day, all day. So I'm wearing my gloves because I have to touch your steering wheel. I have to touch your keys. I have to, you know, get inside of your vehicle. I have to do so much touching. But I have boxes of gloves where I'm wearing myself out because I'm just doing so much more extra. Where before I was just washing my hands all the time because, or, you know, with my sanitizer on my desk because I'm always constantly in these germy cars. But
And that's scary. And bless your heart.
It is very scary.
That's very scary because people are comfortable in their car, so they cough and sneeze and everything without covering their mouth.
Absolutely. And that's why it frustrates me to no ends that they are still coming in, like you just said, they're coughing, they're sneezing, and they're bringing that car still to me, you know, knowing that they just finished coughing or sneezing, now they're going to bring the car into me, and I have to get inside of the car. Of course they're not going to tell me.
Of course not. I commend everybody that's still out there working. It don't matter what you're doing. If you're still out there, you know, I commend you. I'm furloughed, and honestly, you know, for my sanity-wise and my anxiety-wise, I feel relieved because it's very intimidating when you have to go so close to a patient and you can't act different. You still have to treat them like a patient. And in your mind, you're just, oh, my God, what if he has it? What if he coughs? You know, I literally had a patient. She was elderly, and I was just trying to help her onto the exam bed so I could prep her, and she literally just coughed all over my arm, like mouth wide open and everything. And I had to finish what I was doing with her before I could go clean myself. So the entire time, I'm freaking out on the inside. So the sense of relief is there, but, of course, the financial part is going to suck, you know.
Definitely.
But sometimes that's family. I'll tell y'all, ladies.
I know. So,
sometimes
Kate, if you don't mind, if you could hang in there with us because we want to bring you back with us after our break.
Sure.
We are going to take a quick break real quick, and we'll be right back with you guys.
Okay.
a miracle. Starting with the umbilical cord, I'm a miracle. Forget whatever I can afford, I am a miracle. Walking with the strength of a lord, spitting lyrical. How am I even spitting it all? That's a miracle. 30 years, KRS-One, how we still hearing you? Yo, it's a miracle, no, not just my lyricals. My data is empirical when it comes to these miracles. Within the miracle, I am the miracle. I am the pinnacle, never pitiful. See past the typical, deep mystical, mental and physical, rational and spiritual, mind over material. I am the miracle, say it with me, I am the miracle. Wipe away the doubt, the disbelief, and the fear in you. Project your mind down the line about a year or two. See yourself pursuing it and doing what you here to do. You are the miracle, yes, you are the miracle. You get what you expect, see 1,000 people cheering you. You are the miracle, you and I, a miracle. This is intellectually critical and political. Yes, you are the miracle, cause faced with the imperial, we didn't lose our spiritual. That alone is a miracle. Standing on principle while others steady dissing you, but still showing love, living above, that's a miracle. They tried to put the fear in you, act like they wasn't hearing you, but that was minimal. You remained a miracle. No hate or bitterness, cause both are reciprocal. Not to become hateful toward hate, that's a miracle. The rent due and the landlord, he ain't hearing you, but the check with no money on it you gave him just planned for you. Miracle. When you pray, someone's always hearing you. Ancestors, Holy Spirit, maybe someone near to you. A miracle.
You are a miracle. Fresh, you are a miracle. Bless, you are a miracle.
Around. There's so many miracles. You should never think that you alone and no one cares for you. The very air you breathing every day is shared with you. It's when you take for granted all that's been prepared for you. That's when you can't see the miracle. It's there for you. Perceive what you believe. Don't be deceived by the fear in you. Life, that's a miracle. Your wife, that's a miracle. You got 2 kids and twice. That's a miracle. Living in the city every day, that's a miracle. Crime all around, but you okay, that's a miracle. Walking in the spiritual, you seeing all the miracles. Things always seem to work out for you, miracle. Heaven's always cheering you, the path is always cleared for you. Divinity is steering you right toward what you're here to do, miracle. The universe, that's a miracle. It reflects what you project like a mirror to, miracle.
Yes, you are a miracle.
You are now rocking with Carolyn, Abe, and Alicia C.
Don't stop
on the Urban Flavor Radio Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Urban Flavor. Do I still have my guest with me? My host still there, Alicia. Kay, are you still there with us?
I'm still here with y'all.
Awesome, awesome. You know, that song right there was deep. Because we are all miracles, and it was just so fitting to hear the words and the lyrics in that song. It just touched everything that's happening, you know, right now. So I'm just appreciative to hear that song right about now, especially, you know, during this episode of what we have going on. So thank you guys so much for hanging in there with us and taking this show to a whole different level tonight with this COVID-19. This is something that we didn't expect that we would be having to discuss, but we're here, so we have to do what we have to do to survive.
Mm-hmm. Daily.
And Kay, I do, you know, I appreciate you for being in the medical field. I thank you for all that you do for all of us. And I'm sorry that
you're
more than welcome.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that you had to go through the furlough.
I know. And then it's crazy because the letter says that the estimated time frame is at least 60 days. So I'm just like, what am I going to do with myself for the next 2 months? Like, it's like devastating. But like I said earlier, you know, I have like a very low end of the spectrum anxiety, but that was going to work every day. It was really bothering me, my anxiety a lot.
Sure.
I'm not going to lie. But I also worry, you know, about our patients now, because I know the staff is extremely minimal, and we see a lot of patients that, you know, they have to have catheters because they can't urinate on their own, and they have kidney stones, which is a very great deal of pain. A lot of those people now have
right.
to actually go to the hospital, where this disease is just like, you know,
mm-hmm.
overflowing. So it kind of sits
right.
on your conscience too, like, who's going to take care of them, you know? But
which I'm
that's
so
why
shocked
we gotta...
to yeah, I'm just shocked to hear that you, of all people, were furloughed, because we need, I mean, even before the pandemic, they were struggling to get a lot of people into the health field.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really shocked by the number amount of people that are getting sick and dying that they are furloughing medical people.
Yeah, I know. It is mind-blowing to me as well. Like I said, I knew we were going to maybe have hours reduced. I expected that,
right.
but for us to completely, you know, it was, and it all changed like that within literally just a week. We had one meeting, they figured it out. You know, we were only taking urgent patients. So many people were, you know, in the office at a time. Then just that next week, but you know, it just depends, I think, on the type of practice, too. Like, my practice, the bulk of their money comes from surgeries and procedures, you know, because we deal with, prostates and bladders and, you know, kidneys and things like that. And once this started, the doctor stopped the procedures and the surgeries. So a very large bulk of their money just was gone just like that, you know.
Here's my question. How, and this may be a silly question, so okay, please correct me. How did they come up, like for real, because it just popped in my mind, how did they come up and make the decision that you all needed to be furloughed? Because that's a huge deal, you know, not being able
mm-hmm.
to use, you know, the restroom on your own or anything like that. Like, I'm trying to understand that. Like, was it like a flip of a coin? And, you know,
so,
which area is in the medical field?
No,
so what's that
about? What they did is they are still there, but the staff is basically, they're trying to keep the staff basically just physicians and nurse practitioners. And what they did was they kept, you know, one person from the front desk so that someone can still take these calls and, you know, be able to communicate with the patients. They kept one clinical assistant, but they kept the clinical assistant who had been there the longest. You know, they kind of based it on seniority. So basically in our office, for the amount of patients that we were seeing, which was so minimal, two clinical people can handle that as long as there's a physician there. So the rest of the staff, we just, the clinical staff especially, we weren't needed because we literally were seeing maybe 3 to 5 patients a day. So you have 10 medical assistants, 3 nurses, and it's 5 people coming in a day, you know, they were trying to figure out what to do with us. So we ended up on phones trying to schedule televisits. But what my physician explained to us to make us understand is basically like what they bring in a month's time, that 100% of whatever they bring in a month's time, when they furloughed us, they were down to 32% of that 100% of what they brought in a month.
Wow,
and
that's a lot.
You have to think. That's a lot, and you have to think about payroll itself for clinical staff is not cheap, and
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of us, you know, because our practice has 7 doctors, so there's a lot of staff. So, you know, I mean, if your income goes from 100% to 32% and you still have to maintain something to be able to bring these people back eventually, I can understand it, you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
I watched that schedule go from 130 people a day to 4 people a day and no surgeries and no procedures. So, you know, I understand it. It sucks, but I get it. You know,
right.
I get it. So, I don't know. It's
so
crazy, y'all. I never even thought we'd be going through this.
Yeah, never in a million years.
Mm-mm.
So I thought that maybe, Right. So I guess I was assuming that in the medical field, because there was so many, I guess I'm going to call them victims of the coronavirus, because there's so many cases out there, I would think that they would have more people, more hands on deck to help out.
Right.
With what's going on. So I'm a little confused as to why they would let people go when they could use the sources that they have to help out.
To help out. And I did see, and I don't know how much truth is to it, but because, you know, sometimes the internet just be, you just be finding stuff and somebody just put it there. But I did read that, I don't remember if it was a hospital, in New York or somewhere else, where they were saying that if you have a nursing degree to please basically come and help them. You know, I don't know how true that is, and I don't know what the circumstance of that is. Are they paying you? Are you, you know, I don't know the details. But I did see something like that, and to me that is a very good idea, because you still do have clinical people that is terrified that they're going to go to save a life. It's in them to do that. But I don't feel like the resources are there. I don't feel like there's much of anybody saying, hey, we need help here. If you've been furloughed and you have this license or this certification, please come assist. You know, I haven't seen anything like that, and I think that's something that should be taking place. Especially every other post is, oh, the hospital is overcrowded, oh, we don't have room, there's patients in the hallway. And then the other unfortunate part is for the people that have to go to the ER for other things. It's like they're just put on a back burner because right now you're not important. You know, I have a family member that went to the ER for, she fell and she hurt her back, and she was having severe pain. And when she got there, they had her sitting on the floor for 4 hours before somebody saw her.
That is awful.
In pain to the point that she's like crying, begging for them to just give her something until she's seen, like that type of pain. And she said, because she called me the next day, she was like livid. She's like, they left me on the floor for 4 hours, Kay. I'm like, are you serious?
No.
But
I'm speechless with that.
Yeah. A lot of people are going to get treated like, oh, well, you're not priority right now. That's the unfortunate part, you know. And then you're also risking yourself because you might just have abdominal pain and want to be seen, and then you leave with the coronavirus because you didn't touch the wall, you know?
Absolutely.
Sad to say.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And I was also wondering about, even with, you know, chemo patients, people with radiation treatments, dialysis. I'm wondering how are they treating these patients, especially dialysis? They go, what, 3-4 times a week?
Yeah, they have.
So
to.
I'm wondering.
That was actually my previous job before the urology. I was working in the vascular office, and we didn't do dialysis, but if a patient on dialysis had, if their access clotted, they would come to us for us to declot it so they could continue treatment. And they cannot go more than 5 days without sepsis starting to begin, and within 2 weeks that they will literally die.
Right.
You know, they have to keep that tunnel clean, and it has to be running, because otherwise they just build up with all the stuff that we, you know, are able to get out of our body on our own. So I know that office that I worked for that was treating the declots and stuff like that, they are still there because I still talk to some of my coworkers, but there's no way on earth a dialysis center can close. I don't believe that that's even possible. So many people would literally die within 14 days from that. So I don't know. But I hope they are open. I really do, because
I hope so.
Those patients, they really, there are some patients that, you know, they get dramatic and they can't see you. They feel like they're going to die. But there are people that really will die if they don't get that medical attention.
You know, they are the people that are the they're at high risk for contracting coronavirus too.
Absolutely.
You know, you have
a lot of dialysis
underlying
patients have diabetes too.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so sad that it's sad that we're going through this. They're already fighting one thing and now they have to worry about something else. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are probably passing away because of stress.
Yeah.
Of, you know, not knowing how to deal with this thing.
I agree. Yeah, it is a very scary time.
It is. It really is. What is your take on going out walking?
I see a lot of people doing it. What do you think, Alicia? Are you judging them?
I'm not judging one bit because I have someone who's in quarantine with me and has been getting me out to do a walk. Now, what I have noticed is that when we see people and we make eye contact, we'll literally cross the whole entire street, and other people will do it too. You know, it's just like, and if someone just happens to accidentally walk past us, we'll hold our breath. I mean, we're a little childish, yes, but you can never be, you can't be too sure these days.
Right. You're right.
But
absolutely.
And it may sound crazy to say, you know, stepping out to get fresh air, because, you know, the air ain't all that fresh, but, you know, just sitting in the house, you know, you start to get a little aggravated, and especially if you're cooped up with someone, whatever they do, starting just, it gets on your nerves.
Yes.
You
got to
get out.
Yes. I haven't gotten out personally to walk, but I think every day that since I'm home now, every other day I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go take a walk, and I just don't do it, but I definitely understand the people that do, because I'll sit outside on the porch or, you know, the balcony for 2 hours sometimes just to have some air.
Right.
See, she needs the fresh air too, but it's all fresh. But, you know, you just change the scenery.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Exactly. You got
to. Well, see, but that's what confuses me because, okay, so you go out for a walk, and even if you don't see anybody out, okay, you're just on this path or you're walking down the street by yourself, do you still put on protective gear because of the elements in the air, or is it strictly because of being around other people? That's what's confusing
me. Well, it's a toss-up for me, honestly. I'm going around in a big circle in my neighborhood, and I'm not physically touching anything. So, you know, like Kane's, like, I don't really necessarily wear the gloves. I wore it one time, and I didn't like the way my hands felt.
When
I went out and about with the gloves on. I didn't like it. And it made me feel like I had to wash my hands even harder, you know? I don't know if there's some type of powder in the gloves, but, you know, I'm used to washing my hands all the time. That's why they always dry and crack. But.
Right.
At least they clean.
Come on, now. I don't know if I
would wear a mask to walk. I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't be able to breathe, and then I have asthma.
I know.
But.
It's hard to breathe with them on.
And me personally, I don't believe that this thing is like airborne, because I feel like it would be far more people dead if it was just in the air. But you know, it is true that like if you're standing next to somebody and that person coughs into the air, that the virus lingers for 30 minutes. So it's in the air right there for 30 minutes, but I don't believe that it's just floating around airborne, anybody breathe. I don't believe that because I feel like there would be way more fatalities if that was the case, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's more like you're going to be within 6 feet of people. That's when you need to have it on.
Right. Yeah, it's just so much to think about.
What about with people who have kids? You know how friendly kids are. They'll go up to anyone and just hug up on them. And kids will eat something, touch the ground, and scratch their
eyes.
You know? They don't understand.
So now they're really in prison.
You know, they don't
get babies. Poor babies.
Yeah.
I know it. And my fiance's cousin, she's a nurse at a hospital in Connecticut, and she just recovered from the virus, and she obviously believes that she got it from being at work, because there was a floor there, you know, where they were treating the virus, and luckily for her, she recovered, but she's a single mom with two small boys at home, so for her, I'm just like, you know, I can only imagine what that was like for her, because even when they say, okay, you know, your 14-day quarantine is over, you can be around your kids, I would still be scared to be around my kids, wondering if it's really gone or not, and how do you explain that to these poor babies? They don't even understand. My niece, every time she come over here, Auntie, can you take me to the park? And I'm like, No, baby, it's a virus that's out there. It's a bad monster, and it's making everyone sick. And she's just looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, girl, you just don't want to get up.
Right.
She's looking at you like,
now you're lazy.
We're going later. Are we going to go later? Is that what you're telling me? Not right now?
Right. Right. Is the virus gone tomorrow?
Oh.
Is it gone tomorrow?
Right. Right. The monster going to be out of town next week? Can we,
right. Poor kid.
But I know the time. I know the time is coming to an end, but really quick. So one of my friends told me that his one of his girl homegirls from high school is 38 weeks pregnant, and she had the virus.
And he
posted, you know, something like to inform people of, you know, the effects. And she was sitting down the whole time on this recording, but he just kept saying it was hard for her to breathe.
Oh my god!
Describe it like my heart broke for her. Because you got to keep your stress down when you're pregnant. I mean, I've never had kids, but, you know, I've been hearing stuff. So it's just,
that's so sad.
I can't imagine being in her shoes.
You
got to
pray for her for sure. Pray for her for
sure. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much. I hate to end this call because we're having such a great conversation, and we'll probably have to do this again. In another
room.
Yeah,
week. I like Tay on this show. Yeah, what is
yeah.
that? Yeah.
So everyone, check out.
Too.
Yeah, check out Kay and Lachelle on Table Talk on Wednesdays and Alicia and I and Abraham on Thursday nights from 8 to 9. Thank you guys.
Yes.
Good night.
You too.
Bye.
All
bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Yeah.
You are now rocking with Carolyn, Abe, and Alicia C.
Don't stop
on the Urban Flavor Radio Show.
Yo, Mac, I don't even understand how they didn't understand you and that Mary Joy.
Yeah, I
kick
know,
kick that
man.
Old robotic, futuristic George Jetson.
Yeah,
crazy joy.
Just like Uniblab. Robotic kicking flab. Or flavor bit of batter. Shit a chatter, batter than the Mad Hatter. I bet you buy shit, come by fatter. I got the data to turn your body into antimatter. And just like a piece of sizzling, you'll fit inside my stomach with the eggs and grits between. The king is what I mean, my man, get a cup and put some change inside your hand. Now hold up, let's make this official. Everybody, let's agree that MCs need a tissue. The folks my only issue. I bet your mama miss you, and I bet the Mac take off like an MX missile. No more you whining on the charts climbing as I make the phone kick.